Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Super Deluxe Carlat Cast. It is August 17th, Thursday as usual, and guys,
I had to think about it for a minute. You were like,
it is Thursday, if you can believe it.
Shut up, you fucking losers. I'm gonna get hammered tonight. I'm just warning you guys. I'm drinking a very alcoholic beer. I'm drinking a Kentucky breakfast stout, it's delicious, and boy oh boy is it powerful. Almost as powerful as my feelings for Carlac. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, it's been a day, but like, this is always gets to be a highlight of my Thursday. So
Britt had to think about it for a minute. She's like,
today sucked like work wise, but I mean, other than that, it's fine. I've also just been really tired lately. Like, and I don't know why. Like, I had a migraine last night and I slept from like 7:30 to 6:30 this morning and I was still tired. I still had to take a nap like midday because I was
exhausted. You still had time to send me a message on Steam like, John, I see you boning Carlac.
That
like,
wasn't last night. That was the night before.
Was that the night before? Okay, sorry. When you're with Carlac, time means nothing. It just kind of stops.
I get it, man. I get it.
Look, here's the thing. I cannot forget. This was like 2 months ago, but us playing Diablo 4 early when it came out, and I got some kind of in-game achievement thing, and Britt and Charlotte both DM'd me at the exact same time because the achievement was like friend of the bear clan, and you both were like, yeah, I bet you are.
Wait,
the exact same minute, second, everything.
Yes, it was perfect.
Wait, has anybody actually fucked a bear yet?
No, I'm not fucking Halzen.
I'm getting there.
Oh, I respect Halzen. I respect him as a friend.
Look, by the way, we'll get there.
For everyone listening on podcast services, our buddy Sam Tolbert is here. Long time. Sam's a family.
Given up on introducing guests if they've been on a few times. We're like, Sam's look, you get
guest.
It.
Sam's not a guest. He's family. Consider this. And I literally had not thought about this till now. Like, a druid can take bear form and you can nail the bear, which technically means you can fuck a spider.
No, you can. So no, it would be you fuck as a spider, but also no, because I am a druid and I'm like 99% certain that it's not going to give you the opportunity because it's a camp. You can't do wild shape at camp. So yeah,
he's tried is what he's saying. He's tried.
I've tried to fuck as a wolf. I've tried to fuck as a cat. I've tried to fuck as a bear. He's like, but Derek's like, I've tried to fuck as a.
There's
as
also a badger.
As a badger, like Derek. Derek simply. Derek is a creature of. Derek is a creature of animalistic urges.
I've actually turned down all of the advances that have been made upon me so far. So,
why?
Which ones?
Asterion, Gale, and Will have all made advances. And
dude,
I was like,
Gale will not leave.
Does Shadowheart not make an advance on you? That girl is. Because
I've told her to fuck off so many times.
No. So fuck. We can all agree that Carlac is the horniest character in the game, right? Because one of her first dialogue options. One of her first dialogue options when you're talking about getting the infernal, you know, like the infernal iron to fix her heart. One of her first, like, it's like, I still can't touch you. And she's like, do you want to? And I'm like, yes, I do. And she's like, oh, I'd like that.
Carlac isn't the horniest. She's probably the most normal in a fucked up way. You're just horny. The horniest one is Lazelle sitting there across camp like, let me smell that dick. Let me smell that dick.
She's too fucking much,
man. She literally came up to me. And here's
play
the thing.
Baldur's Gate 3, folks. This is the only game. Like, we could get into what we've been playing, but it's this. We've been playing Baldur's Gate 3.
So I had not made any.
I have news, but it doesn't matter. First, we're talking Baldur's Gate.
So I had
talking them balls.
I had made zero passes at Lazelle because I'm not about that Gith Yankee life, right? But one day, I got to give it up to her. She just laid all her cards on the table with like zero buildup. She's like, I'm going to be honest with you. I want to taste you.
Yep.
And I'm just like, and I'm just like, No. And then she mocks you. She's like, you're going to wish you had this shit on top of you.
Oh my God. Yeah. I never had her in the party because me and my wife were playing, and we're playing like co-op split screen. And, my wife is a fighter and like Karlax a barbarian. So we just don't need another fighter. Right. Mm-hmm. So the usual party is my wife is the fighter. Karlax is a barbarian. I'm a druid. And then Asterion is the rogue. Cause you just gotta have a rogue. Mm-hmm. And like, I just remember at one point Lazel being like, like, you don't even know how good I throw this ass back and you don't even want it. You're lost, motherfucker.
Lazel, you had not spurned me so many times, I think is the exact
like,
line.
Lazel literally is like, yo, I want you. Nay, I need you in like, my mouth. And you're like, no, and she's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, she's straight up like, you're gonna fucking miss the world. Lazel is one of those characters that I hate, but I also love. Like, I'm so glad she's in the game because I just love having a character that I'm constantly just like, fuck you. Like, and then they redeem themselves a little bit and then I warm up and then they just do something. I'm like, fuck you. Like,
I think the cast in Baldur's Gate, all of the supporting characters, right, are incredibly well written for what they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And like, Lazel is this very abrasive character who you like, there's a huge cultural divide here. There's a huge values dissonance.
This is fantasy racism at its finest.
But like, she is just this really, really interesting, like, and you're gonna hate her. Like, unless you put the time in to get to know her, and even then you're still gonna hate her a lot. Like, but it's a well-developed and interesting kind of unlikable party member. And I do respect that. Meanwhile, like, again, everyone's falling for Shadowheart, and Shadowheart is like,
so
this is not even a spoiler, like evil cult, you know?
Here's the thing.
Without spoilers, go ahead.
She's a Southern Baptist.
No, you can fix Shadowheart. You actually can.
Yeah, that's what all men say.
That's what I said about Asterion. That's still on the line. 100%
can completely change Shadowheart.
I can fix him, but I'm gonna make him worse.
I will say in this instance, you actually can fix her.
Okay, well,
but yeah. I think so, that's kind of the interesting thing here is that like, I think Larian has done such a good job of providing at a glance, you know, at skin deep first glance, the stereotypical party members in terms of mm-hmm. what you have to deal with. And then once you talk to them, it doesn't matter whether you like them or not, you're romancing them or not, whatever, however much you use them, if you interact with them at all, you realize there's a lot more there and they sort of flip a lot of those stereotypes on their head. Asterion, as you know, the, not the straight man, but sort of, you know, the witty
guy. Yeah, there's nothing straight about that man.
No. That's what I said, not the straight man. But like, you know, he's the one lampshading all the problems being faced. I think he even has this great line at one point about like, why is everyone in this group a weirdo? We wouldn't know if anyone was replaced by a doppelganger because you're all just so strange. But then you know, him being the vampire as well and all that, or Karlax and everything going on with her, or Shadowheart, and yet Cult of Shar raised some eyebrows on me for if anyone has read any of the Forgotten Realms.
Oh, material. Dude, I grew up on Forgotten Realms books.
Right, Dungeons and Dragons. Then that's going to set some alarm bells. But you're
I was like a cleric of Shar,
and you realize like, wait a minute, something. The math isn't mathing here. You are way too nice. What's going on? I think they've done a fantastic job.
I think Shar is neutral evil, right? She's neutral evil alignment.
On a good day.
And the thing is like when you do stuff like you know saving kids. And, you know, being kind to people like Shadowheart approves. Mm-hmm. She always approves. And so that right there should tell you that there's more to her story than just being a cleric of an evil goddess. And I think people are so fixated on Shadowheart because they love church ass, right? Like Shadowheart is super duper pious and religious. And everybody's like, no, I'm getting that. She'll come around. And I think
John, you might be projecting here. Did you go after the girls from church camp?
I see where he's going with this. I see the vision.
Sam understands. Sam absolutely.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I understand.
No, Sam gets it. Sam absolutely gets it. I think that's part of it. I think the other reason is that, look, she's a hot half elf. Like what?
I think it's interesting how varied everyone's reactions are and everyone's opinions to all of the party members, because there's almost nobody who has the one thing is like everyone universally loves Karlax, right? But from that, like I've seen people all over the place about Gale, about Asterion, about Shadowheart, about like, you know, about Lazel, like everyone it's so easy to find people who love these characters and also cannot stand these characters. Not as in like these are bad characters and they make you not want to play the game, but like, I'm glad I don't have space for you in my party. Fuck you. Right. You know,
at least the origin companions.
Gale's kind of cool though. Like,
I love Gale. Gale's a good dude.
I love Gale, but
worried he was going to show me his dick unprompted.
No. So my game actually glitched out. So Gale,
did the game glitch out and show you his dick unprompted?
No, what it did was it like, for whatever reason, whenever he's in camp, he's totally nude except for like some underwear.
And so that's normal.
Can't figure out how to fix it. So one night he's like, come talk to me, friend, in the meadow. So like I sat down next to him and he's just in his fucking little like tidy whiteies. I'm sitting right next to him and we're just having a serious discussion about magic and my character, like, just look, his, you know, the character models in this game are very expressive and very emotive.
Yes.
My character just looks over and he's like and I was like, where is this going?
You want to see a magic trick?
It's going.
Can I talk about my descend into Baldur's Gate?
Yes.
Because I
want to hear it.
No, zero intention of playing this game whatsoever. Did not care. Didn't want it. Just wasn't excited for it whatsoever. And then the character creation came out and I was like, all right, well, maybe wait a minute. All right. Right. So I'm like, you know what? I got a job. I'll buy something for a character creator.
There you go.
So I buy it. And I'm like, all right, take some hours making a character. I went with a tiefling. I'm a pink fucking tiefling.
Yes, me like, too.
Yeah.
Pink.
Not me.
Full on bubblegum, like pink. And it's the best fucking thing ever. So I'm a sorcerer, tiefling, and I started playing this game and I cannot stop. I can't tell you how I've been addicted to this game for fucking since I got it. Like, and I haven't been addicted to a game like this and I don't know how long. Like, I feel like a kid again because I'm literally just eat, sleep, breathing Baldur's Gate. Like,
yeah.
You guys want a podcast? No, I want a fucking Baldur's Gate. Y'all are on the time.
It's a miracle I'm here.
Yeah. I forced myself to be on tonight.
It's bad. Like, I haven't been this obsessed with something, like I said, and I don't know how fucking long. Like, my TikTok feed, all Baldur's, like, I bet
it's
if
all
I pull
Baldur's
it up,
Gate.
Like, if I pull it up right fucking now, well, my phone restarted. So when it comes up, I'll fucking show you. And, like, I guarantee you, one of the first ones, it's just gonna be fucking Baldur's Gate.
Let's see. I am so into this
second TikTok was a Baldur's Gate. Like
legit, like, so like,
yep,
like
there it is. Second one fucking Baldur's Gate right fucking there.
So like I grew up reading the Forgotten Realms books. Like Sam, like Driss Stordon is my favorite character.
Okay.
You know, like I've read literally every single one of the Driss Stordon books. I've read all of, you know, like I'm a big Ari Salvatore fan in general, you know, so I've read, you know, Canticle and all that stuff. I'm like extremely already familiar with the world of Forgotten Realms and all the characters and the lore, but I've never played pen and paper D&D.
The game says in chat, does this game really have an ending? I don't even know. I don't have a Baldur's. Who is she? I don't know. She's still a mystery to me because I'm still fucking just running around doing my shit.
That's actually my son, by the way.
Oh, it is. It doesn't.
I gotta be careful about what we say.
No. Dude, he's 15 years old. Who gives a shit? Just go with it.
So we go back to talking about how much of a bratty bottom Asterion is.
Oh, this is what I want to talk about. That dude is a bi king. And I know a lot of people say he's flamboyantly gay, which, yes.
He's bi.
But
he's
is
bi.
Also... He's got Asterion some.
That is a depraved bisexual.
I'm not gonna go for him because he's like super gay, blah blah blah. I was like, I might go for Shadowheart, and then I saw Karlach, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go for Karlach, and then that motherfucker rizzed the shit out of me, and I was like, God damn it, sneaking up on me, biting me in camp, yeah. Like just
that sounds like your fucking shit, Britt.
It is helps. My shit. That's why he got me, and I fucking love him because he is a.
It helps
icon.
That he has that real high class voice and that very like.
But
he's very high camp.
That can be very hot, and I. It's something different. Like that, you know. Usually, my person is.
He's some shit out of a spicy novel, like for real.
Usually, like the ruffled my type shirt, of people are know? Like, Halsim. Is that his name? Druid?
Halsim, yeah.
Yeah, that's like my, like, I'm doing him next, by the way. Yeah. But, that big, is definitely daddy. Like my, like, I saw him, and the first words out of my mouth were, can I romance him? Can this guy be in my party? But yeah, I love Astarion because he's got the most Rizzy personality, and it's, they wrote him so well in being geared towards both men and women that it just like seamlessly blends, and it's just so good. Like, I was like, all right, stupid vampire, emo vampire got me, let's go.
Astarion is definitely my like bitchy best bro, and I love having him in the party.
Oh, he's so
time.
Useful. He's just- like, they're like, solve this puzzle, and I'm like, Astarion, just go open the door. Go open the door.
Like, I love when you leave him behind. And he's like all catty about it. He's like, I guess I'll just sit here and do nothing. It sounds awful.
Yeah, you're going to hurt my feelings.
And then when you go on an adventure with him, he's like, I don't know how people do this all the time. Like, I'm exhausted.
I mean, mood, right? Why don't people invite me to parties? Then I get invited to a party and I'm like, I don't want to be here.
I want to go home and play Baldur's Gate.
Out of all the NPCs, like personal stories, like you know, that you know, like Karlek's got her infernal engine. You know, Astarion's got, you know, the vampire who made
vampire,
him.
Vampire right. daddy issues, yeah.
Right, like, Will's got, you know, the, you know, all the demon shit
the
happening. Like,
yeah.
What do we find, who do we all find has the most, like, which story are you invested in the most? Which story are you most interested in seeing the conclusion to?
I would say Will.
I have to
It's become Will. It's become Will, yeah. I think. I didn't really care before, but, like, things have developed in such a way recently that I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. But also, like, it's hard because obviously, like, Karlek and Astarion have really, really immediately engaging stories. Gale's story, if you put the time in to actually
really
do with it.
Oh, yeah, he's really good, too.
Yeah, Gale, I'm like, some things have developed with Gale's story where I've met, like, other characters related to his, like, background.
Yes, and, when they come to camp with you.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that
I'm
just
like,
happened to me.
I'm like, this is heartbreaking. You know, real tragedy here. And I, like, I love the pathos they've put into such a, like, cheery, likable character, you know?
Yeah. Again, well, subverting those stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that you get at first glance. Gale was the one that I was going to mention.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
I would say, like, I think you guys would probably agree. I would say, like, the most obvious canon, like, good aligned characters would be Gale, Karlek, and Will. I would peg Karlek.
I think Shadowheart, too.
No, like just the nature, like, in the beginning, she's definitely neutral evil, I think. Simply
I don't
on
think
the,
so. She always likes my good choices.
That's true, but like
she always
like,
approves draws, them.
But she also serves Char, and like, you know, and Char is a very evil goddess.
I mean, again, like, I know some Southern Baptists who are good people who should just leave the church. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like I would like I would say Karlek is chaotic good, and Will is probably lawful good.
Yeah, for sure. Which is funny, considering...
I've not looked at...
Right.
Well, yeah.
And I would say Gale is a neutral good character.
That sounds right to me. Yeah.
But Astarion, probably, I would say, lawful neutral.
I'd say even
a
little bit.
He's fucking chaotic.
Chaotic.
What sort of rules?
Actually, he's awesome, but...
Astarion might be
chaotic neutral. There we go.
He supports when you go around kicking puppies. Like, that gets his approval.
I find Hulson extremely boring. I'm sorry. he's a nice druid. Like, okay. Like,
he's got some Riz too.
Yeah.
I find him
John.
Way
John.
Too...
It just part of the problem is that like
John's
you just
intimidated
don't...
by him. It's another buff guy in camp, and he's like, nope.
I'm not intimidated by fucking shit.
Keep talking about it. It convinces us even more.
let's get that out of the way right now.
Baldur's Gate has been such a joy to play. It is, I've definitely, like, in the last week run into more bugs and glitches and things that have been very, like, okay. So, like, it's very funny that people have tried to bring up Baldur's Gate as, like, a cudgel of, like, you know, no other game can be like this. Like, you know, no, this is an example of how lazy devs are. And it's like, this game, like, hey, we already talked last week about how ridiculous the circumstances behind this game are. That, sure, like, sure, you know, it got to bring in income for 3 years, 2 or 3 years in early access. It's a studio that knew exactly what the fuck they were doing in a very specialized way. It's a huge studio, tons of time, etc. You know, but like, also, I think people are whitewashing a little bit, like the shape that this game is in. It's still kind of buggy. It's still kind of messy. Be. Like, they're working on it. You know, it's nothing game breaking.
Performance is very hit or miss. Like, if you're using DX11 or Vulkan, like, depending on your hardware. It's been good for me.
Carlack has been like breaking people's games.
It's been good for me, but
I've heard people say do not use Vulkan. It cripples game performance.
We'll see what the console ports look like, right?
Is anybody else playing it on Steam Deck? Because that's what I've been playing it on.
No, on my desktop.
I can tell you right now, granted, I've made some modifications. Like, you know, I've set some stuff at medium. I've got some stuff at high. I've got God Rays on. I've capped the frame rate at 30 frames a second. And I'll be honest with you, it runs fine. It actually runs quite well on the Steam Deck and the Steam. And the thing is like, you know, this is a game where you don't need 60 frames a second for Baldur's Gate 3. Like, you just don't. What you need is for the frame rate to be stable, because nobody likes an unstable frame rate. But this
Mine's
is a game
been, I haven't hardly had any issues. Like, I haven't hit any glitches or like I've had a few things where
Baldur's
like,
Gate ate my
out.
Clothes. I went to camp and
that didn't happen to me.
My clothes and underwear disappeared
and if it
off
did,
my
I
character.
Be mad.
Right, but then I was just walking around camp with my dong out, and it was like.
Where
and it was like
again,
I gotta
feature, not a bug.
I gotta go talk to these people, and I'm just here with my fucking dick physics like wiggling in the wind as I walk.
See, I haven't had anything like that.
That just sounds like a story Derek tells the morning after he like got nearly blackout drunk. He's like, last night my clothes just disappeared, and this morning my dick physics were weird. Like,
listen, let's not talk about the charity streams here. All right. Can I just say one thing? And my friend brought this up to me, Rom, that's usually in chat. He was like, I really, you know, when you play games like Dragon Age, Mass Effect, like that, like usually the romance is like a slow burn, and that's like the reward you get at the end of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I like in this game, like you get the romance, you get the relationships, and you get to progress those relationships. By, you know, just talking to them and, you know, going adventuring with them and shit. So it's like, it's nice to establish a relationship in a game and then continue to build off of it and continue to work at it.
Yeah. Some characters, and I like how it's different for different characters. Some characters are a slow burn, right? Yeah. Some characters want to fuck up front, right? Like, and that's different people.
Literally everybody wanted to fuck me after that party. At that party, I was like, holy shit, like, what's happening?
I don't even know if we're talking about the game anymore. I want to point out something in chat that my son said. He said, I think it's strange how other game devs think Baldur's Gate 3 is too high of a standard for RPG games. And that's something that I actually meant to bring up.
I don't know that that's really the right way to frame. Like, I still think that original, and look, I'm not somebody who wants to rail on any individual outlet, because I think there's too much of that shit going on. And I know too many good people at IGN, but like that one video about Baldur's Gate 3 sucked shit. Like, it came from a very reasonable thread of an indie dev saying like, hey, here's some reasonable expectations of like, how this is like, this is not one size fits all. Rami Ismail did an excellent thread. Was it just earlier today talking about like,
I think
like under the current economic conditions under which games are made, like it is a fucking nightmare to spend the kind of money that gets spent on Baldur's Gate. Right. And like, I'm seeing a lot of smart people point out that like, if Baldur's Gate 3 was the sure model for success, then all games would be Baldur's Gate. And instead, they're all going for Genshin Impact, right?
And like, also, like, sorry, and I know y'all talked about this last week, so I don't want to rehash.
Sure,
too
but
much,
we can bring it up. Some,
yeah,
for sure.
Like, there's one particular comment that almost no one has bringing up, and it's kind of starting to ruffle my jimmies here. But it is the fact that Larian themselves have explicitly said they're not doing this again. Like, Larian has outright said, our next game, we don't know if it'll be Baldur's Gate 4 or Divinity Original Sin 3. It's going to be smaller. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is an issue now, but they also explicitly said if it didn't overperform, they were going to have to lay people off. I don't think that's going to be an issue now.
There go, John.
Uh-oh.
Bye, bitch.
We lost him.
He was like, I don't want to fucking hear this. No, he probably had an internet drop or something.
So it's just...
That was weird.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to rehash too much of that, but, like, people need to be aware of... Look at the circumstances. Look at everything. They had
it's complicated.
3 years... to polish Act 1, and I don't think it's a coincidence that once people are hitting Act 2 and especially Act 3, they're starting to notice more bugs and performance problems.
Right.
I think
it's complicated, and I think people trying to use the way I put it is like, yes, taking risks with stuff like Baldur's Gate can pay off. Yes, a bunch of the stuff people love about Baldur's Gate, we've spent all this time talking primarily about character writing, right? Mm-hmm. And you could have done this in a way smaller game. It can pay off. It's not guaranteed to, and it's a huge risk.
I'm glad it paid off. I'm glad it did.
I am too.
If it convinces even a couple more people to make, like, obviously smaller in scale, but like well written CRPGs, then good.
So, Britt, please go ahead.
So I was just gonna say, like, the only thing that I agree with is that games can be released without shit ton of DLC, right? Like,
yes,
you don't have to work on a game so long, but you can definitely polish a game pretty well before releasing it and just not include DLC and it still fucking be incredibly, like, worth its money, you know? Like, yeah. And I think that's where we're getting to a point now with games. It's like, is this game going to be worth my money? Like, am I going to be buying DLC after DLC? You know, is this game even going to be completed or do I need to play DLC? Like, Final Fantasy 15 is a great example of a game that probably I would have liked a lot better had they not released like 6-7 DLC that weren't, that didn't
explain
the
story. Also, you had to
watch
a bad animated series and a bad animated movie.
I don't have an issue with Cersei as Luna Freya.
I
have more of an issue with the fact that they canceled the three most interesting DLCs. That was the bigger issue to me. So sorry, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No,
I have
no,
not
you're right.
Square
I,
for that
like one. I'm a Final Fantasy 15 defender, and I'll agree with you wholeheartedly there. Go ahead, Britt, please.
Oh, sorry. So I was just going to say, like, I do think that the games industry does need to be better about that in an aspect. Like, if you're going to release a game, release it whole. Like, release it as it is. Like, patch it, fine, do whatever you have to do, like, if shit happens, but don't release a game, Pokemon, and then just kind of be like, oh, this stuff's broken, all right, we'll patch it in as we go, like, keep playing,
and
you know,
don't,
like, and then don't that,
like,
and then don't, you know,
got that
it's
Jedi
like,
Survivor game is still busted to hell and they're already planning new ports of it, and it's like,
yeah, so that's what, like, I feel like that's a standard that we should be setting across the board. Yeah. But, like, as far as, like, making every game like Baldur's Gate, no. As far as, like, you know,
and
Sam,
and,
like, what you said, like, go ahead.
And to be clear, a lot of that's publisher-driven, not developer-driven, right? Like, if you allow a lot of these developers, I'm sure if you allowed, like, if Game Freak was allowed to spend the money and time on fucking Pokemon games, they would look and run better and come out a lot less frequently. But instead, the Pokemon company, and it's weird because Nintendo's usually really good about this. It's very much a Pokemon problem with annual merchandising. But the Pokemon company demands the annual release. So they just fucking can't, right? Conversely, Nintendo basically lets these games get developed and polished months past when they could release.
I mean,
you know?
Just look at Tears of the Kingdom, which
right.
launched early.
But then again, Nintendo
year.
Has like the biggest war chest in the gaming industry. So, you know, they can afford to eat, you know, a dozen console failures.
If you don't mind, I want to circle back to real quick to what we were talking about when Larian said, you know, hey, whatever we're doing next is going to be smaller. Like, they're saying that now. I'm not sure I believe that's actually going to be the case.
I think they're going to reassess that after the success of Baldur's Gate, for sure.
And that's kind of what I'm saying, right? Because like, it hasn't even come out on PS5 yet, and this is already the highest rated PC game of all time.
I think it can still be true, though, because I think
Baldur's
that there's
got to be at the top, y'all.
There's got to be a lot that they've learned in the process of making Baldur's Gate 3 that would allow them to make something new and similar in a more streamlined fashion, right? They had to have learned a lot from this.
Taking less time
at
a lower cost.
Right, yeah. To create something that is feasibly similar, maybe with a little fat cut off around the edges where it wasn't necessary.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I refuse to believe, right now anyway, I refuse to believe that their next game is not going to be Baldur's Gate 4.
It's not going to be, because it's going to be fucking Neverwinter Nights 3, dude.
God, like, I love it. Please.
That's also possible. You also know. It could be an Icewind Dale.
They're not making Icewind Dale.
I would love another Icewind Dale, but I think Neverwinter Nights 3 is...
It's going to be Neverwinter Nights.
Okay, go ahead.
No, Britt, I was just going to say, you also know we're going to get at least two expansions for this game.
We'll see. But I do want to say, like, Sam, you brought up the point that, like, if it didn't perform well, they were going to start cutting people. I do want to say that they did not cut anybody through this whole process. There was no crunch, and they did not get rid of people. So that's positive. Like, that's something that should also be, like, celebrated, and something that should be standard. Like, don't let people work on your game and then fucking cut them before they've even been released.
Like, what? Larian found success with Divinity 2. This, they're with Baldur's Gate 3 doing what it's doing, they're part of the, like, they're one of the big boys now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have ascended. Like, they're fucking up there now.
I think it's also exciting to see a studio really succeed on this level too, and get, like, that kind of name recognition, right? Like, that kind of a bump outside of the US and Japan, right? This is a Belgian, it's Belgian, right? Studio.
They have some support teams in other countries. I think there's one in Spain. They have an office in Spain. But yeah,
but like, that's good. That's healthy. Yes. It can only be healthy for the game industry for, like, more studios in more countries.
And they're
going
to be able to hire more people
and
open more locations after this.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't think anybody on this podcast, I certainly was not expecting Baldur's Gate 3 to be the runaway success that it has been.
I didn't give a shit about it. I did not care about it, and I'm addicted to it now. Like,
I thought it would be so. It's weird for me because I intentionally stayed away from the early access because I didn't want to be
me,
like,
and Sam,
playing
exact
it
same
and it iterating. Yep. And by the way, if you want a shock, go look at some of the old early access videos. This game has changed a lot.
It has.
Oh yeah,
it was not great when it first came out.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. The polish level is night and day. So it's a weird situation for me because I conceptually knew about a lot of what they were doing, and in theory it was appealing to me, but outside of what was demanded by work, I have stayed away, and so it's just been such a breath of fresh air. I mean, not to go on about it too long, but I mean, Britt, what you were saying about feeling like a kid again, I have not felt this way about a game since I was 13 playing Dragon Age Origins.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
It is just, I have very just fallen in love.
I said last week that this captures the old BioWare magic, which is funny considering that the original, like, D&D games mostly came from BioWare. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they did. The first two, the first Baldur's Gate games did. And, like,
and Neverwinter Nights 1 as well.
And Neverwinter Nights 1 2 was Obsidian. But, like, and don't get me, and look, I have defended Dragon Age 2 for, like, what it was developed under 14 months. That's absurd. I think it had great writing. I think Baldur's Gate 3 is a phenomenal what could have been if BioWare had doubled down on what made Origins special.
If EA hadn't turned BioWare into what it is, like, this is what we would be getting out of BioWare.
Yeah.
You know? And so, again, like, I think that all of the magic of this game and a lot of the things that we're latching onto, a lot of this stuff could have been replicated in a smaller game, a shorter game with less stuff in it. Because I think a lot of us are in love with the magic and the decision making rather than, you know, specifically the fact that it's a 150-hour campaign or whatever.
Oh, that's, I am safe scumming the shit out of this game. Oh, you better fucking believe it.
Yeah, Derek, the fact that it's 150 hours is the least appealing part to me by far.
Exactly.
So think about this. So I'm looking at the Steam charts right now, right? Bear in mind, this game is not out on PS5 yet. It's only out on PC. Peak players, almost 900,000. This game came out last week. Hours played, 187,687,542. That is more hours played than Apex Legends, Team Fortress 2, Call of Duty, PUBG, Grand Theft Auto 5, and Phasmophobia.
And to be fair,
nuts.
A lot of that comes from people who have been playing the early access like over and over and over again.
Stats are in there for sure.
So, yeah. But like even well, like, so,
more than Team Fortress 2 or Apex Legends is fucking nuts.
It cracked the top 10 of like most concurrent users on Steam, and that's. Yeah.
Huge. I mean, John, you asked about if anyone saw this being a runaway success. I think it was you who asked that. I thought it was going to be successful. I did not think it was going to be this successful.
Not to this level.
I thought it was going to be celebrated. The Dungeons and Dragons is far more popular. The pandemic gave a, you know, made that boom. You know, it's in more popular culture. It's a name, you know, big name recognition for a game that a lot of people thought would never happen. I thought this was going to be a good success. It being like as popular as it is has kind of blown my mind.
Yeah. Can I kind of shift into like
you can.
Something that I personally love about the game and something that I've always been kind of insecure about playing D&D. It lets me get comfortable with like the world of D&D, the rolling, the stats and everything at my own pace.
Yes.
So like one of the biggest things that I hate about D&D is that like I don't know what stats go into what or, you know, what this kind of role means. And it's just like, I don't play consistently enough to constantly have those things memorized. So I love the fact that I get to kind of like learn at my own pace. Like nobody's sitting there waiting for me to make a decision. Like I get to go through and figure out like what stats affect what. And the only one I always knew was charisma. So take with that what you will. And but it's been really cool to kind of just get into the world of D&D on my own at my own pace with set storytelling that I can just kind of learn from and just pick up on, and it's just I've been really enjoying it that way. Like I'm excited to play D&D now because I'm like even in battle, I'm like, I know what I can do now.
I hope I don't let you guys down when it's finally time.
No, Britt, I got the fucking player's handbook. I got the I got the guide to monsters. Next week, I am attending my first pen and paper D&D session. I'm fucking all, which is like
extremely neurotypical response to playing Baldur's Gate 3.
But also, it's a little weird that I never played pen and paper in D&D, considering I grew up reading the Forgotten Realms novels. Everybody was like, John, you're so into Forgotten Realms. Why have you never played pen and paper D&D? And I'm like, I just never bothered. But I've got some dice on the way. Like I'm ready to fucking rock and roll.
Yeah, like it's just been like even doing the battles, like I'm learning how turns work. Like yes, I can move, but I can only move a certain amount and before I lose my opportunity to attack, right? Like I can't just move and then attack. Like I can step forward a little bit and then attack.
I can see Derek just ascending as we're talking about this, Britt.
The good news is when we do play, like I know all this shit like the back of my hand, so I can walk everyone through everything. So.
Yeah. So that's what's been nice for me is I've always kind of shied away from D&D because I feel like it makes me feel stupid, and that's like one of my biggest like triggers is feeling like I'm stupid and don't know anything. So
weird,
I've always kind of like
literally one of the smartest people I know.
No. So I've always just kind of like whenever people ask me to play D&D, I'm like, I'm like really new. Like I don't super know anything. I've only played a few campaigns. And but now like I feel really comfortable. Like I'm excited. Like I want to build all these characters. Like, you know, I know what feats are good now. I know what starting spells are good to take, at least for like mages and sorcerers. And
Britt, I've already got my character ready to go on D&D Beyond.
Oh, Ron Pips?
No, it's actually not Ron Pips.
Sam, you're a fighter, John, I'm assuming.
I am a drow fighter. I decided to reroll. Ooh. I decided to change. I tried as a drow bard, but
so this
I,
is,
I,
okay.
I went back to fighter for one reason. I really like the superiority die that you get with
you get that with monk too.
with the battle, you know, because you can go either champion or Eldritch Knight or, you know, Battlemaster. And I really like the four superiority die you get with Battlemaster. And also the fact
that's
that,
how I have Lazo.
Yeah. And like also the fact that you get you know, extra attacks. And I just, you know, I enjoyed being a bard, but I had Withers reroll me as a fighter because
fucking Withers.
Like, fucking Withers, dude.
What are you playing, Sam?
So I am playing a Dragonborn bard, actually.
Oh, okay.
Fun.
Yeah. So it's actually really fun because and this
so we've all got a different perspective. Like we all kind of got like every class.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did. So I will say this. However, I found out about a companion that you can only get if you are playing shall we say evil, to say the least. And I found out how hot that potential companion is. So I have made I rolled up like an evil tiefling sorceress just because I need to bang that drow. So, but that'll be playthrough two. I just had to go off and do that. That character creator is dangerous.
I know
character creator is
dangerous. And then you have to do it again. I hate that. I'm like,
that's
okay,
perfected my
character.
It's the funniest thing they could possibly do. And they were like, no context for what this is. What's a guardian? Don't worry about it. Make it.
Here's the real question, Sam. Which penis did you go with?
So Dragonborn actually only have the one option. It's
really?
Just one. Yep, just the one.
Oh, your sounds like penis options, bye. Yeah,
I'm like, which penis did you go with? My kid's like, okay, I'm out.
Right, Rom, it's penis E for sure.
Get that metal. Love you, pal. I'm proud of you.
Like, I don't even think it was labeled penis E. I think it's literally just penis.
Penis.
Yeah, it's penis. Yeah. It's the armor
which is
plating.
Weird because like it's a dragon, right? Like, do reptiles have penises? Like, is that how
we're not getting into this conversation? We're moving on. So, to get us off of because we've been on Baldur's Gate for 40 minutes plus.
Get on the last episode.
I got some Baldur's Gate
you can get on, Derek.
I think me and Sam have also been playing some games for reviews that we're not allowed to talk about. So, like,
I am sorry, my responses are limited. You must ask me the right question.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like they're just awash in a sea of games right now. Interesting stuff.
Sorry, you go ahead.
Can I say one more thing, Derek?
Yes,
you. Not about Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
I downloaded an old classic and on Steam Deck, the Chronicles of Mystara collection.
Oh man, yeah.
Chronicles of Mystara and its sequel. The name's escaping me, but classic Capcom beat 'em ups set in the Dungeons and Dragons world. If like you can get them on Steam right now for $5.
John, why aren't you playing Air Guys? That's clearly the best fighting game.
No, Chronicles of Mystara, and I think it's Sorrow Over Mystara is the sequel. I can't remember, but they are fantastic Capcom side-scrolling beat 'em ups, set in Dungeons and Dragons. Like you can't go wrong. Fucking awesome shit.
Nice.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Air guys.
So we got two things that we wanted to talk about that were not just what we've been playing. The first of these things being Microsoft Xbox introducing a new like moderation system. God, I am sorry if you all are hearing all that dogs barking in the background.
I'm not. Let them cook, Derek.
They're on.
They saw somebody across the street and they're very upset. But Microsoft has introduced this new like strike based like moderation system for my understanding is it's primarily based on like in-game chat and like messaging and stuff, right, Sam?
That is correct. It's based on like what you say in game lobby chat, like open chat, or like your messaging to other people. Yeah.
Only 8 strikes, you say?
Well, so here's how the
people
system works.
People are misreading
works.
Some of that, but sorry, go
yeah,
on here.
Here is how the system works, is everybody is going to start at 0 strikes. You can get up to a maximum of 8 strikes. Strikes last for 6 months at an infraction. Supposedly each strike is going to be reviewed by a human, for moderation, right, Sam?
They are claiming
that's
that
what
there
they're
is
claiming.
No AI usage or anything. I hope they is correct.
Right.
We'll see.
With a built-in appeals process and with different types of infractions being like more like more strikes,
right? It's not eight. This is where I've seen a lot of people get confused. It's not eight individual actions. It's like, you know, depending on how, what you did, it can be more than one strike accumulated at once.
So I have a question regarding this, but continue. Just I had my hand up for the end.
So the way it breaks down in the examples that they give, which is not exhaustive, they say, but these are like the most common things. Profanity and cheating are worth a strike. Sexually inappropriate messages and harassment or bullying are two strikes. And hate speech specifically is three strikes, which I assume from the way that they describe it in the article that they posted, I assume that like the highest one supersedes. So like obviously the majority of hate speech is going to be harassment and bullying, but it's going to get the three, not the two, because hate speech was involved. But I don't think they combine it. I don't think it's like five because it was bullying and also hate speech. That's how I read their examples given. I think, and then they have like the strike system is like depending on the number of strikes you get, is like you get a suspension for X amount of time, where it drastically ramps up as you get to higher numbers of strikes.
Mm-hmm. I think one strike is just one day, but like it
one escalates. And two strikes is a day, three strikes is 3 days, four strikes is a week, five is 2 weeks, six is 3 weeks, seven is 2 months, and then eight is a whole year. Eight is your and I assume again, I didn't read what this specifically is a ban from. I assume it's from like chat and messaging. Okay, yes, it's the social features. So here's the thing. It says multiplayer. So I don't know.
That is, games can I don't have know. Like in-game chat, like lobbies as opposed to
the way it's worded. I think it's meant to be just the social features. They're not going to like stop you from playing games.
No, that's correct. That is correct.
So here's I think there's good and bad to this. Mm-hmm. I think it is good to have a system like a more transparent and like direct system where humans are moderating and mm-hmm. and reviewing all of these things, and especially like I think they're prioritization where like hate speech is the thing that gets the most strikes is probably correct for where the problems lie in gaming, right? Hate speech is the worst thing. Sexually inappropriate messages, harassment and bullying are, you know, also more severe. And then like profanity and cheating are not as big a deal. Profanity is a weird one to me. Cause like, I assume they just mean profanity in games that are not rated M.
Right. I assume profanity like saying like "fuck you, you're a piece of shit player."
Yeah, but then isn't that harassment? Video games, like,
suck at life.
I think that there's context. Is like, are you going into an E10 plus game that has multiplayer support?
Yeah.
And cursing out a bunch of 9-year-old kids.
I'm pretty sure if you're playing like Apex Legends and you're like, you know, dude,
hopefully
you did.
It works for both. Yeah. To
and
be
I hope
honest.
You did like, dude, you did so fucking good. Congrats! Like, that's not a message that's gonna get you modded.
They're not gonna.
I don't think that's how it's gonna work.
No.
Now here's my criticism, because I sat and thought through this, and basically what this boils down to is a permission to use one hate speech every 3 months. Because
that's
because,
the problem with math.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and they've just outlined that you get a free hate speech every 3 months. Because what happens is
you guys
do
get
it
one hate speech every
let's say,
3 months.
Let's say I'm
like,
playing.
They know their community so fucking well that they're like, all right, guys, listen, we'll let one slide.
Because if I'm playing, if I'm playing like Fortnite and I throw out, you know, just blatant hate speech, right? I'm going to get three strikes, which will ban me from chat for three whole entire days. And then that goes away in 6 months. So then 3 months later, I do another hate speech and that gets me up to six. So I might have to be quiet for 3 whole weeks. But then like in a few months, the first hate speech goes away and you'll never hit eight. So like what this is basically said is it is like, obviously there's not people who are going to sit around and go like, okay, I'm good. I get one. Like, this is my cooldown. This is my cycle. But like the fact that that's possible, that you can just indefinitely do one hate speech every 3 months, one confirmed by Microsoft actionable hate speech, does mean that the system is not fully thought out to me, right?
So I will say this. I agree. However, I think that people who are going to be using this speech and targeting it for it aren't going to be smart enough to fucking do this math.
You're probably right.
And these people don't care. They're going to fucking keep doing it. They're not going to be smart and be like, they're going to fucking keep doing it.
I agree. That's the problem with math. That's the problem of it's the engineering versus humanities, blah, blah, blah. That's the problem with trying to do this is you cannot have a perfect system where they outline things fairly and explain how it works and are transparent and allow you to appeal and also not have weird possible loopholes like this. There is going to be some weirdness. I would not be surprised at all if some of these numbers get tweaked in the coming months or the coming years. I would not be surprised if they have to adjust a couple of things. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm exhausted. I'm just happy that there is. I think this is broadly a step in the right direction. I think that can probably be agreed on because I'm tired of reporting, you know, on TikTok or especially Twitter, you know, Reich Warrior 1488, and it says no content found. It's like, fuck you, TikTok.
Most platforms simply do not actually moderate. There are no human beings who look at this stuff. It's just, you know, basically like this is like a fucking inside baseball. But like, if you pay attention to this stuff, you know that the way most of these social platforms work is they do not actually act upon something unless like an algorithm finds something very obvious, like the N-word spelled out because it's in a list of like flag phrases, or it just gets enough reports that it triggers like an escalation.
So even if people use stars or put a space in it, like I hope people read it and be like, I know what they're implying. So my question was, like, kind of following that, do you think this has any connection to the Blizzard Activision acquisition? Because their fan base is not the best.
That's an angle I hadn't considered, but I don't think it's impossible. And especially because I think right now, almost everything going on in Xbox has something to do with Activision Blizzard, right? They're trying to be on their best fucking behavior and put on their best face because they want to win that. They've wanted to win the right to do the merger, and they want to win the PR battle with the public and say, we're the good guy in all this, right? So
I think it was probably in the works regardless, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm trying to think of how to say this carefully. Being in a merger with them, they have access to analytics data that they would not otherwise be privy to. They still don't have access to everything. That's how this works, legally speaking. And I would not be surprised if some of that analytics data that algorithm data they got made them escalate certain plans.
I also don't think you need the data to be like, oh, we fucking know how bad shit is and stuff like Call of Duty.
And Overwatch.
So, like, I think this raises an even more pertinent issue for, you know, guys like me, for example, who have a 15-year-old, right? And he plays a ton of Apex. Like right now, Apex Legends is his favorite game. Parents need to be monitoring what is happening
as best you can, but that's fucking hard.
Especially in chat channels, right?
What do you sit next to him while he plays video games all the time? Like,
I normally do, but that's because we game in the same room.
Yeah.
Right. Like we kind
you
of
have a very different relationship with, you know.
That's good. That's very good. That's
awesome. You guys, you know, Sam hasn't been
also
here, but
the American process of like parents need to take responsibility for their kids hasn't worked out very good in the grand scheme of things. Because it's gotten us a lot of evil, racist little shits.
But here's the thing, it's not just racism.
Fucking sexual harassment, right?
It's also not just that I'm concerned with, right? So my son, like, he's got his own little corner here. He calls it, he calls himself the juice. So he calls it the juice box. I'm gonna out him there.
I love this fucking idiot. What a great kid.
What a lad.
He's such a himbo. I remember when Derek was like, John, he could not be more your son.
Then the juice box game.
But so it's also like, and this is going to sound like, bear with me here, proselytizing. Don't preach to my kid about things like religion. That's my job.
Oh yeah, like that weirdo who is doing the gospel in Fortnite or whatever.
So, and that's what I want to bring up, right? So there's this guy, there's this YouTuber who goes around and hops into Fortnite chats with kids, like preteens, and starts and he's very open about
it.
Yeah,
there are fewer people I want talking to my fucking kids unasked than goddamn youth pastors.
Yeah,
like,
and
no.
He's like, hey, have you guys know about Jesus Christ? And you know, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? And I swear to God, if that man ever hops into a chat with my kid, I'm gonna be like, dude, if you want to fucking meet God, I will arrange it right now. like I will send you to God immediately if you
that's
don't
a good one
if yeah. you don't leave my fucking kid alone.
But like I think having like a system like this is good, right? I think having a transparent system is good. I think if Microsoft really means it, like having human beings review all or even just most of these infractions, right, is good. Like that's the sort of stuff that has to happen, and I know that's difficult to do at scale, but these companies have the money to pay people $18 an hour to sift through and be like, yeah, that's a hate speech, you know what I mean? Something. And you know, I think it's good, like their priorities are good, and I think they're trying to find a balance between punishing and forgiving, and also like allowing people to, like, especially young people, to fuck up, face a small consequence, and go, okay, I'm not doing that again. Because I tell you what, if I caught a 3-day ban as a 14-year-old in an online game, that would be all it would take to scare me straight, right?
This is a very,
but I was a better 14-year-old than most, so.
I'm going to make you guys super proud of my kid right now. A little while back.
I know he yells at the racists on the voice chat.
I was walking downstairs and didn't realize I was here, and he was yelling at somebody in Apex Legends, and I stopped. And apparently, I found out later, this guy had called one of his friends, like, you know, the F slur. You know, homophobia, you guys know what the slur is. And Jaden was, he was like, and again, like, you know, he didn't know I was there, but he's like, if I ever hear you say that word again, I'll straight fuck you up. And
good kid. Good
and
kid.
And I was like,
that's your kid.
Yeah. I was like, Jaden's like, I'm not even fucking around, motherfucker. I'm not even fucking around. And he's like, I'll straight end you. I'll just end you. You understand? I will straight fuck you up. Like, just talking like a 15-year-old, you know? Like,
right. Right.
And
not the best,
like,
at being threatening, but they've got their heart in it, and you got to respect that.
Well, Jaden,
they
like,
fucking mean,
like,
it.
Jaden also got like weirdly jacked because he's been doing crew for the past year, and he came up to me a few months ago. He's like All Father. That's his name for me. He calls me All Father. He says All Father.
I hate it.
He says I have a new title. I was like, what's that? He's like, the Quad Father. And I was like, if you ever call yourself that again in my presence, I will literally powerbomb you through a table. Like, I, like, you will not call yourself. And he's like, the Quad Father. Like, anyway.
Yeah. I think it's a step in the right direction. Like, as many flaws as it has, like, I think just holding people more accountable for the actions, especially with the acquisition of Blizzard and Activision. It's a really good move because Blizzard notoriously has, and Activision notoriously has, people that are pieces of shit and need to get their little asses handed to them.
Yeah, they do.
Politely, I will say that.
Impolitely, let's fucking go.
Well, then we'd get banned from Twitch, but yeah, I just think that, you know, this should be a standard. Like, there shouldn't be an excuse for racism. There shouldn't be an excuse for slurs. There shouldn't be an excuse for misogyny. Like, it's just stupid. Like, and it's so funny, like, being a female in gaming, it's like, dudes only have one thing to say to you when they find out you're a girl, and it's, go back to the kitchen. Go make me a sandwich. And I'm like, you guys are so fucking dumb that you can't even think of your own insults. You have to piggyback off insults that are like 10, 15, 20 fucking years old because you're so dumb that you can't come up with your own.
What's funny is that these guys always look like a fucking soup sandwich.
Oh my God. It's, I get heated talking about this shit.
Sandwich.
Like not to insult anybody's looks here, but the guys who always are like, "Hey, I got a call. Yeah, once you get back in the, once you leave Apex and bring me a peanut butter jelly sandwich, sweetheart." These guys always look like somebody ladled out.
And we lost him.
Some chicken noodle soup on a fucking piece of bread. Like,
yeah.
What's that?
No, you froze up for a minute. It was just funny.
Oh. Anyway, yeah, these motherfuckers are weak as shit.
Yeah. Now I think that there is one easy, massive improvement to this system that I think Microsoft should look into doing, which is I think there needs to be a way for repeat offenders to automatically gain additional strikes for their infractions.
Right.
Right. Because if the easy solution is like, I am a calculating dickhead and can do one hate speech every 3 months, there needs to be a system that says, dude, we've hit this dude with the hate speech infraction 3 separate times. 3 strikes does not cut in it. You're up to 4 or 5, however many strikes per infraction.
Some sort of escalation at the extreme end.
If you are a repeat infraction on things like sexual harassment, right? Harassment and bullying, hate speech, those sorts of things. I don't give a shit about cheating. I truly do not care about cheating in online games. I have bigger problems in my life. Mm-hmm. But like the actual nasty shit that drives people out of communities, like I think that stuff needs, like if you're a repeat offender, then you start working off a multiplier, right? And eventually the problem gets solved one way or another. But like, I don't have an exact mechanic system for that, but I think Microsoft should be looking at that. Right. Cause eventually we've told you to stop saying the N word. Like you're still doing it. You just, you know, I'm not saying you have to take permanent access away, even though I think that shouldn't be off the table, but like, I know that's probably too far for a lot of folks, but we should get to a point where you're such
it
a regular,
should it should be,
but people are going to be like, nah, it's too far. But like, we should get to a point where we're telling a woman you don't know, telling a woman you don't know, like in a video game that you're playing with, like, you know, show me your tits. Should eventually just be
or
like,
blow me. You know how many times I've been like, Peachy, you a girl, fucking blow me. I'm like, who even are you? And I bet your fucking dick smells like cheese. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, you nasty. Yeah.
Ooh, that's gross.
Yeah, dude. Your it's bad.
It is gross.
Your dick probably looks like yogurt and butt hair.
But yeah, so like that's my big, I think if something like that happened, I would be like, all, like 100% behind this new system. I do think there's a lot of good decisions being made. I just think that like if I can in the span of 5 minutes sit down and figure out how to game it forever, we've got to patch that, right?
Right.
That's the problem. So easy a 5-year-old could figure it out. Therefore, they need to hire a 5-year-old who can come up with the solution for that particular hole.
Derek, I do got to take issue with one thing you said.
Yeah.
When you said that you don't
try
have
me, bitch.
Okay, that's fine, motherfucker.
Dick cheese smelling ass. Let's go. What do you gotta say?
All right. Listen up, you silly little bitch. When you said that you're okay with cheating, I don't agree because when you cheat the game, you cheated not only the game but
there
yourself.
It is.
You didn't grow. You didn't improve. You took a shortcut. And
outside of a tournament setting,
nothing.
Because look,
God
I used to be
thinking, sir.
Good.
You
keep talking.
Follow victory. Nothing was risked. Nothing was gained. It's sad that you don't know the difference.
I mean, I'm going to save scum the fucking hell out of Baldur's Gate.
I do it too, Britt.
Say what you want. Say what you fucking want. I don't give a shit.
And Alfred, Derek, I'm sorry I yelled at you. I didn't mean it.
It's okay. It's okay. I've gotten used to it.
Sorry. No, I want to be clear that I do not yell at Derek.
No,
like Derek is my best friend.
I do not yell at Derek. T-shirt is literally
I call him like almost every day. I'm like, hey buddy, and he's like, hey buddy. We don't yell. I don't yell at Derek. I hug Derek.
Yes.
No, God, you yell when you come into Airbnbs.
Y'all are gonna yell at me when it's D&D time, though, for sure. I'm gonna have some fun with y'all, motherfuckers.
As long as you're a fair DM.
If you play anything like you do in Mario Party, I have no fucking doubt.
It's worse.
It.
Remember, I'm not the player. I'm God.
Oh, I know. I'm expecting it.
If you need someone playing like an incredibly obnoxious NPC, that's working. I've got a couple. I'm still
working out the merchant character, because every D&D campaign has to have the motherfucking one merchant character that like constantly reappears, right? Anyway, that's a side note. So I got one other thing I wanted us to talk about tonight. We've spent a lot of this year talking about how busy this year is, how jam-packed with Game of the Year contenders.
It's
right?
A darn good year.
It's a damn good year.
It's a anxiety year for gaming, for sure.
It's so easy to talk once again about the number of incredible games that just came out and incredible, like, big AAA heavily marketed games that are looking to come out in the next 90 days. Instead, what I'd like us to do, so I want us to focus a little smaller, right? I want us to focus on the indie games, the AA titles, and I want to ask us both, what are some of your favorite, like, indie and AA releases from this year? And also, what are your, like, most anticipated ones coming up? I don't know what I just did or said.
Britt and I are being fucking stupid in the Discord chat.
Oh no! Now I got to check on my phone because I can't do it on the PC.
For a minute, Britt had me. I was like, no, Britt. Okay, wait, never mind. Okay. I thought Britt was going somewhere.
Bitch, that's the guy with 1,002 followers on Twitter. You better suck his dick. What?
And I said, I mean, he has more than I do. I mean, I have no ground to stand on to say. No.
But first, all Britt said was, I mean, and I was like, Britt, no! Like, don't! But
folks, I'm at 1623 and I'm not going down as this site falls apart. So, you know,
I love that Finn,
if somebody wants to go for it,
Finn is still just in the Discord chat, just playing Baldur's Gate. He's like, what context am I missing?
He was like, I'm too busy. I got this work call I got to be on. And
Finn,
I just don't know
what you're doing,
he's
right,
playing
Finn?
Baldur's Gate.
Right, Finn, you know, we can see.
I love it.
It could be Caitlin, because I know Caitlin's playing.
That's also possible. Yeah.
No, because Finn literally typed something in the Discord chat just now.
He could be on his phone.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Anyway, Derek, you were saying?
But yeah, so I want to talk about our favorite indie and AA titles that have come out. Because I think at this point, like, indie and AA are approaching, like, a similar space, right? Where, like, I think whether it's from a big developer, because who, Sam brought up Hi-Fi Rush, right? No, Britt did.
I did.
And Sam was like, well, that's not indie. And I was like, well, it's not, but, like,
it's,
I think it occupies
AA,
a similar,
right?
Space,
like,
right?
So AA, definitely. I'll accept.
So
AA,
Sam,
sure.
Sam found the correct, I need to do /AA. But anyway, talk about our favorite indie and AA games of the year and what's coming up. And I want to maybe start with Britt, if you're ready. If not, I'll go to someone else and
Britt
you can take some time to think.
Britt did not look ready. Britt's eyes went like dinner plates. For
John, let's go to you.
No, it's fine. I got it. So I already played my indie of the year, and that was, I can't remember the name because my brain fucking sucks.
It's been a hard year. I'm gonna grant you that.
I'll look it up in a minute, but I already had my favorite one. I got to play it earlier this year.
For the Unbound was
Thank
one
you.
You were real
Thank
into.
Thank you. That's
yeah.
the one. I kept wanting to say Sea of Skies and Sea of Stars and just
Sea
all
of Stars
shit.
Is one upcoming. I'm very excited about.
Yes.
So
I am. I think I'm most anticipating, like Dorian said, Stray Gods. Love Stray Gods. Excited for that shit. And then the other one is WrestleQuest. I'm really fucking excited for that.
Do we have a release window on that? Or
WrestleQuest? I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's for sure coming. Like, but you know how a lot of these are. It's like when you've been seeing it at PAXs for a year or two straight. It's, you know,
I got nosy teeth.
But yeah, WrestleQuest is definitely one I'm super into. I didn't think I would be, but.
I think there was a few more because I went like for mostly full indie picks on my Games Critic this year for my choices, just because I felt like those usually score pretty well and nobody fights over them. And it's worked out pretty well so far. But
metagaming over here.
Space for the Unbound was really good. And there's so many different aspects to the game, like gameplay wise, story wise. And just how it deals with depression, and it's just it's incredible, and I recommend everybody play that game. Plus it has representation in there, so that's always good to promote.
Yeah. Sam, why don't you tell us about some of your favorite indie and double A titles of the year?
Okay, so I got a couple. For indie specifically, I have played a wonderful game called Dredge. Has anyone here played
Dredge? Yes,
Dredge. Okay. Dredge is... Okay, so I'll be careful. I don't want to spoil... It's
a fishing game, right?
Sure.
It is. Yes, yes, John. It's a lovely, relaxed vacation spot. Idyllic,
that's what I've heard. You know,
Boston type. No, okay, I'll drop the pre-deck. I don't want to spoil too much. It's a,
Lovecraft
it's a
was
trip.
Set in Massachusetts in most of his stories. So
yeah, yeah, the fishing hamlets and all that. Like, it's you get hired to be, you know, the new fishing guy. You go out first couple days, everything is fine, and then you start noticing that there's some real weird fish around here coming out, especially at night. And then even during the day, there'll be like a tuna, but it has a third eye somewhere. Like, that's not like literally a third eyeball or, you know,
it's a horror fishing game. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's horror fishing. It is.
It's a horror fishing like exploration game. And it's so good.
It's hard to say more about it without explaining more. But like, you start realizing there is something very wrong around this archipelago, and the more you need more rewards, you need better fish to sell for more money to upgrade your ship. But well, if you want the rarest fish, you got to stay out at night when you really, really shouldn't, because there's other things out there that they come out during the night. Dredge is fantastic. It's been a big success so far. I think it's available on everything. Derek, correct me if I'm wrong about that.
Basically everything.
I thought so. Like, yeah. So play Dredge. Dredge is fantastic. And then for double A, because I had a second one as well, since it was mentioned earlier and it does fit this description, Hi-Fi Rush is a gem. Is an absolute gem. What a phenomenal, just fat W, for lack of a better word, from Tango, which I love Tango. But they were very much filed away in this, like, oh, they're the horror guys. They're that Japanese team at Bethesda that makes horror games. Like, and they proved, you know, under the direction of John Johannes, a lovely guy, that that is not what they're going to be pigeonholed into. They can do other stuff. It is a rhythm action game, but it is very hand-holding. There's a lot of accessibility options, and just the way that world is synced to the beat of the music, it just gets in your bones.
Also, the music. Play with the licensed soundtrack. Like,
they have some bangers. They have some incredible... The first boss is a Nine Inch Nails beat drop.
Yeah.
And it just... And somehow...
It's so fucking good.
It goes up from there.
My God. The second major boss... So here's the thing, all right? A little bit of context.
Sure.
I am a huge fan of the Flaming Lips, right? I've loved the Flaming Lips since I was like middle school.
What is that?
No, it's a band.
I know, it's a joke.
Okay.
There.
I was gonna be mad. And I actually like one of my favorite songs of theirs that's kind of underappreciated is Free Radicals. So getting to the second boss, this is not a super well-known song from a not unknown, but not like massive band. And I'm hearing like the down out. And I'm like, that sounds kind of like, but there's no fucking way. And it's really been dragged out. Down out. And I'm like, okay, well, hang on. And then it does the fucking... Like, I can't do it. I can't replicate it. But that riff, and I was like, I popped off so fucking hard for one of my favorite songs to make it on that soundtrack. Oh my God. So good. Oh, yes. Just Hi-Fi Rush is a gem, y'all. Play that game.
Yeah. Play Dredge and play Hi-Fi Rush. That's what I've got.
Yeah. John?
So, does it have to be indie games that came out this year?
Yeah, I want to talk about the stuff that's been this year and coming up this year. I want to highlight really recent stuff.
All right, so I haven't played too many indie games this year, to be perfectly honest with you, so I'm going to cheat just
a little
bit.
You've been loaded down with some huge ones, but games in general.
I'm going to cheat a little bit and say Chained Echoes, for one, which if you love turn-based JRPGs from the Super Nintendo era and you haven't played Chained Echoes, you're really, really missing out on something truly special. I'm really looking forward to Sea of Stars. I would love to say that one of my favorite indie games this year was Silksong, but that game doesn't exist. So it's never coming out.
It's not real.
That game is not real. And I'm actually starting to think that it's fucking vaporware. So how many years now has Silksong, has it been since Silksong was announced? I want to say like 5. Like, it's been a long fucking time.
They did actually show an update last year that they hadn't for a long time. They did show new gameplay and all that.
So. But, like, when was the game announced? Oh. When was it announced?
For some reason, 2017 is in my head, but
That's what I'm thinking.
It was announced on February 14th, 2019, as a sequel to the 2017.
Oh, that's a lot more recent than I thought.
Okay, yeah. So 4 years. That's four not years. The end of the world.
No, that feels longer than
games get five, 6 year dev cycles.
COVID really did something to us.
2020 was 8 years long.
That's I got true. One for you that I think Derek will appreciate.
All right,
I'm really looking forward to Metal Slug Tactics.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
goddamn, yes.
Like
Metal Slug Tactics is going to revolutionize my world.
Like, one, if you've never played Metal Slug year. Games and you love beautiful, beautifully animated pixel art games and side scroll and shoot 'em ups, you need to play Metal Slug. Now imagine that in a fucking tactics game.
You know, like, I'm a fucking absolute whore for tactics games.
I love tactics games, and I love
I will Metal debase Slug. Myself for a good dude, tactics game.
Dude, and Metal Slug is one of the greatest shmups of all fucking time. So you put those two things together, and I am very, very excited for Metal Slug Tactics. Does that have a release date?
No, we have no clue.
It does not. Okay. Another one, and I've played this on PC, and I'm very much looking forward to it on Switch, is World of Horror.
Yeah, that's going 1.0 soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And World of Horror is a one-bit horror RPG made by one guy, set in Japan, and it's basically Uzumaki, right? Like, it's based off the works of Junji Ito.
It's very Junji Ito inspired, yeah.
It's set in Japan. It is absolutely phenomenal. Derek, this is 100% Derek Core shit right here.
Yeah, I know. I got my ass fucking handed to me at PAX 1 year, and the dev was like chatting with Finn watching me, and he just went, "Your buddy's gonna die."
Like, World of Horror, if you are like I'm a Junji Ito convert, like, I picked up
Uzumaki. I finally got you. I bought you Uzumaki, and you're hardcore into it now.
Derek got me Uzumaki, and I went through the whole fucking thing. I'm excited. I'm super excited about the fucking cartoon, the animated series. But if you love Junji Ito, if you love Uzumaki, World of Horror absolutely needs to be on your radar. 100%. Phenomenal shit. And he made the whole game in Microsoft Paint.
Holy
shit. Fucking crazy.
Wow.
He made all the visuals in Microsoft Paint.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Yeah. All the visuals were made in Microsoft Paint. It's a one-bit game, and it oozes fucking atmosphere. Like, yeah. It is an absolutely incredible experience, and I feel like it's an experience that is best suited for the for a handheld device on the couch or in bed in the dark with some headphones. And speaking of that, the last one I'll say is because it came out, I want to say early this year on Switch, is Lone Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a favorite of yours.
Lone Survivor is a fantastic. Basically, imagine Silent Hill on the Super Nintendo, and you've got Lone Survivor. I streamed it, and Britt actually watched my stream, and she was like, "Holy shit, I'm digging the fucking, like, the music here." Like, the music is very, very Silent Hill. It's very, like, lo-fi. You can actually chill to a lot of the music in this game. But it's also an utterly terrifying fucking 2D experience. Like, Lone Survivor is just a scary fucking game. It's also a great fucking game. Again, made by one guy, Jasper Byrne, who is a big Silent Hill fan. You can see those influences all over Lone Survivor. I'm trying to think of other indie games I have played this year. The thing is, like Derek said, there have been so many big games, like Final Fantasy 16 and, you know, Baldur's Gate and all the Final Fantasy 14 stuff. And, like, you know, there's just been so many big releases this year that it's been hard. Like, I feel like some of the great indie games have been lost in the shuffle a little bit. But looking to the future, I'm most excited about Metal Slug Tactics. I keep wanting to say Metal Gear Tactics. I'm most excited about Metal Slug Tactics and Sea of Stars.
Yeah.
Can I put out one that's coming up with an asterisk mark on it?
Sure. Yes.
So I forgot about this, but I was actually just browsing on my phone trying to see if there was something I'd forgotten. Hades 2 is supposed to hit early access this year.
Now, oh,
really? We will
I never
see
played
if
the first one.
What the fuck, John?
John.
Well, to be fair, he's straight, so.
Sam's like, so am I.
Sorry, it just, the game caught on very heavy with the gays. But yeah, like, Hades is genuinely one of the best action roguelikes
in ages.
You should
play it. It's fantastic. And I'm not a roguelike fan. And that was a phenomenal game. When it hit consoles last year, I was obsessed. I couldn't put it down. So yeah, asterisk mark is it's just early access. We'll see if it makes that because we haven't heard anything. But Hades 2, I cannot wait to see what Supergiant is going to do with that to figure out, like, because the first one was already perfect, basically.
Well, there's actually an indie game that is on my radar and I have not yet played. I'm waiting for it to come to Switch, but it is one of the most critically acclaimed games of the year, and that is Dave the Diver.
I've heard so much crazy shit about Dave the Diver, and I need to check it out, honestly.
That game is a sensation, and people have been raving, and I do mean raving, about Dave the Diver. Another one I need to get around to is Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun, which is an indie game.
It's so good.
I'm embarrassed I didn't remember that. Bolt Gun is excellent. But
yeah, that was one I was going to bring up as one of my favorites so far. It was very fucking good. What is there to say? It's a Warhammer 40K boomer shooter that looks incredible and plays incredible and has a dedicated bunt to make Rahul Kohli talk shit. So yeah. Like,
he has a lot of taunts.
He has so many voice lines. It's insane. They really just recorded a couple hours of this man talking the most shit against the enemies of the Empire of Man. And there you go. But no, it's good. But it's like, it's very straightforward. You know exactly what the fuck you're getting with it.
Also, it is the canonical sequel to Warhammer 40K Space Marine. It
takes
After Space Marine, and it takes place before Space Marine 2. So that's funny.
Now, go ahead.
Derek, can I mention one game that that'll be a segue into what I think you want to talk
about?
How dare
you?
And it's a game that has not had near the playtime or like the audience or the recognition it deserved. And it's a game that is made for Switch and it needs to come to Switch, and that is Papers, Please.
Papers, Please. Basically, if you haven't played Papers, Please, like, you need to play
yourself.
Papers, Please. Yeah.
Fix yourself.
You're not going to do well at it, but that's not the point. Like, play it. Just do. It's good.
Like, Papers, Please. Like, I know it's not a game that is coming to right now. It's not coming to anything because it's been out for a long time. But I wanted to bring up Papers, Please, because if I can think of a game that deserves a second chance at life, it's fucking Papers, Please. Derek, go ahead.
I have a few. It's a puppy. It's a baby. So one that I'm excited for is Ghost Runner 2. Should be hitting late this year, if I remember correctly. And Ghost Runner was good as hell. Some of you may remember that Ghost Runner actually, their Steam page has the Saki Award from SDGC on it.
That's right, it does.
Right, which is funny because we did not give them our graphics, so they had to rip it or recreate it. Not that that's a hard thing to do, but just like how funny. But Ghost Runner was super fun. It was right in me and Justin's wheelhouse, and I'm super excited for Ghost Runner 2. You know, if you didn't play the first one, like you should, it's usually on sale. It's on like every platform, I think. But this is this really cool first person, like hyper kinetic action game, you know, with like parkour and sword play. And like, you know, you're kind of, it appeals to the speedrunner, you know, or the like wannabe speedrunner, you know, energy. So, that looks really good. I'm curious. I believe my time at Sandrock, which is the follow-up to my time at Porsche, went early access last year, and I think it's going 1.0 later this year. And I'm always curious to see like, people joke about all of the like farming and life simulator type games, but when one stands out and really catches an audience, like, I think that's something meaningful to stand out in a sea of indie, you know, farming life simulator type games. And I'm real curious about how my time at Sandrock shakes out once it goes 1.0, gets a bunch of reviews, etc. You all have taken a bunch of ones I was going to bring up, like Dredge and Sea of Stars.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, that's good. That means that people are thinking about these games, and they should be. I saw a great,
a backer of Sea of Stars, so that was, yeah, that was a given for
there's
me.
A great too. Post. There's a great post about, you know, like, it's, you know, fucking sorry to, Starfield for having to come out after Baldur's Gate 3 and be like compared against it unfairly in reviews. And then, Sea of Stars, like, quote tweeted that with the like nervous monkey, picture. And it was very funny. Cause it was like, yeah, poor Sea of Stars. This almost certainly not prejudging here, but almost certainly going to be like a wonderful little experience, mm-hmm, is really dropping at a rough time, in terms of bigger RPGs around it. But I get the feeling it's going to hold its own regardless. I'm excited, about Goodbye Volcano High. That's now less than 2 weeks away.
Fuck, I forgot all about that shit.
That finally has a release date.
That's holy right. Shit.
I'm really, really curious. I have been since early on. I like the vibe that it's going for. I'm all about, like, look, man, if you can give me, like, a good... There's still a part of me that loves, like, the good pathos-filled teen drama. But this also looks like it's trying to be something, like, much more emotionally heavy than it... You know, it even seems from its, like, first presentation. And again, like, I gotta respect the team for being willing to clean house when, like, somebody on the narrative team was found, you know, and reminded to be, like, a shitty person. They handled that. And I appreciate that. I wish more studios, big and small, would be like, hey, maybe there's somebody on the team that is not good for the subject matter we're handling. The last one I want to shout out, this is more in the AA space and the indie space. I did mention that I am just a dirty, like, filthy whore for tactics games.
Don't call yourself that, even though it's true.
Dude, you don't understand. I
know you are.
Yeah.
I know you
are. So, but,
you're playing Aliens, Baldur's Gate, we know.
Yeah, Aliens Dark Descent dropped right back in June. And I think it was really overlooked by a lot of folks, but it is an Aliens, like, you know, Xenomorphs, like the famous, like, alien horror franchise, tactics, like XCOM like RPG. And it's real fucking good. It's real good. It's real creative. The energy and the vibe and the atmosphere of, like, the second movie in particular are really well kept. You know, I think, to me, like, in the same way that Alien Isolation was an almost perfect game to recreate what the original Alien film was going for, I think Aliens Dark Descent is maybe my favorite game I've played, like, Aliens game that captures, like, this is what we're going for with the second
movie. More so than Alien Isolation?
Yeah, well, you got to remember the second movie was a very different film. Right.
No, we're talking about Aliens here. That's
specifically for Aliens.
Yeah. Alien Isolation. I don't know how you do better, right, in terms of capturing that, like, the original film and its horror aesthetic. But, like, Dark Descent is that perfect blend of, like, sci-fi military horror, right? That works really fucking well. And I just, more people should look into it and more people should play it. We've been going through, like, a tactics game renaissance, and I've been eating so fucking good, y'all. So, yeah, that's what I got, I think. I don't know of much else that's hitting, because we've been through, like, I'm looking through lists to, like, see what I've missed, and there's some stuff on there I know other people are excited, like, I know a lot of people are excited about Gloomhaven. I just don't know, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to pretend to be excited about things I haven't paid a lot of attention to.
Yeah, the other main one I was excited for got sorry, go ahead, John.
No, I was just agreeing with Derek, that's all.
I was gonna say the other big one I was excited for got delayed out of this year, which is Frostpunk 2.
Yeah, I got a good friend who's super into Frostpunk. I never tried it though.
Frostpunk is great. I don't like city builders, but Frostpunk is fantastic.
I can be into a city builder. It really depends, right? I mean, that's the thing that I thought was kind of interesting about, you know, I brought up my time at Sandrock, right? Mm-hmm. My time at Portia, it's the city builder stuff mixed in that I thought made that interesting in the first place. So, yeah. And I think that brings us right to our...
Well, we are right at the end, dude.
Look at that. I did so good.
Perfect. Now, what's cool about this is I can now go play more Baldur's Gate 3. Because we are
finally get the good. Fuck out of here.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I'm gonna be totally honest with you guys. I love you all. I've been thinking about nothing but Baldur's Gate 3 the entire time. Like, this game has its hooks into me like nothing has in years. Like, holy fucking shit.
It's good game.
John actually has the Discord window like not full screened. He's got Baldur's Gate running behind it, and it's and it's like Discord's only taking up like 75% of the screen.
If he looks in the corner, if he looks on
that right stripe of the screen that's available for Baldur's Gate, you can just see Lazelle fucking twerking in the corner, pay attention to me.
Karlach deserves all my attention. She deserves all of it.
She deserves the world.
So we're going to go ahead and sign off here. Derek, we're doing a fundraising stream on Sunday.
On Sunday, we're going to do... Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know. We haven't been getting a lot of donations for the strikes. And to be fair, some very wealthy Hollywood-like types have dumped a ton of money into those funds. So
do they really need it?
I don't know how bad the need is. So, like, I might switch us over to raising money for, like, wildfire relief in Hawaii.
Also, but here's the thing. It would just be fun to have a stupid Mortal Kombat stream. So.
Right. Like, it is ultimately is an excuse to do stupid Mortal Kombat stream and show John, like, the ridiculousness that is Mortal Kombat story. But also, like, we're going to raise some money for a good cause. See if we can get $50. You know, who knows? So, so that's going to be Sunday, I think, at 11 a.m.
I'm all about it.
And we'll be doing the back half of Mortal Kombat 9 story mode. John's gonna meet Sindel. It'll be a moment.
Oh boy.
I mean, yeah. I'm still all about Sindel, but Karlach has my heart now, man.
Right. Look, John, here's the thing, dude. This is fucking rookie stuff. You got it. You can have one waifu or husbando per like media thing. You know what I mean? And actually you're allowed to have multiple. Like, that's the crazy thing. So there's no law.
There is no limit on thirst in fandom.
You know how many real people I'm thirsty for, and you're going to tell me to be limited about the fictional ones? No. Not how this works.
All right. Well, we will go ahead and end it here. We, of course, greatly appreciate everyone, as always, who came out to hang out with us. Do yourselves a favor, go pick up Baldur's Gate 3 and play it. That's what I'm going to do as soon as we're done here. Tune in here.
Buy it again. Wow.
Dude, I love this.
Buy it again on PlayStation.
Buy it again. I'm not going to double tap this shit.
I'll buy it wherever it goes.
It's like Resident Evil 4. It doesn't matter what platform.
John's
it
over here going to DP Baldur's Gate 3. Got it.
I'm going to DP the shit out of Baldur's Gate 3. Like, I'm going to get all up in there. Just
double purchase.
All the way to the base. Like, sometimes you just got to do it. That's the thrust of the situation, you know? But I'm going to... Derek is so sorry for all of this.
No, I'm not.
We'll be here at 11, right here on twitch.tv/officialSDGC. Take care of each other, and remember that kindness costs nothing. We'll see you later.
Take care, y'all.
Bye.